In the name of God, who remembers us and gathers us in, amen. Remembering, remembrance, is one of the great superpowers that we have as human beings. The paleontologist Pierre Teilhard de Chardin said that when humans evolutionarily could start to reflect on their experience, that was the tipping point in our evolution. It is really the way we create our world, how we see it, our perspective. Right now, the world is especially remembering the life of one of its great characters and long leaders, Queen Elizabeth II, and it is 9/11, September 11th, and we are remembering that tragedy 21 years ago. But there are different ways of remembering that lead to very different outcomes, some of them toxic and some of them transformational. It's kind of a spectrum. How we remember has tremendous impact on the world that we make. So I want to speak to that spectrum, 4 points along that pathway today. First, there's this kind of remembering that is about vengeance. Our grandmothers might have taught us to forgive and forget, but it's not always that easy. When Javier and I moved from San Francisco to Lower Manhattan, Trinity Wall Street, we were right on the site of the World Trade Centers. Up top of our building, looked right down into the pit. And one day we were at a diner for breakfast, right after we got there, and there were a lot of construction workers in the area. And one walked in and kind of gave us a jolt. His windbreaker had a big picture of the two towers on the back, and it said, "I didn't forget, and I don't forgive." That's a powerful way of remembering. But it's dirty fuel. Grief becomes grievance, and it starts to infect those who remember in a way that can toxify not just them, but a whole system, a whole community. It creates an endless cycle of violence, from the small to the great, from everything from family feuds to genocide. We have seen it over and over and over again. Then there's another way of remembering, a little bit further along the spectrum, the way of nostalgia and sentiment. This is wonderful. Remember when, that kind of memory. We all have those tender feelings that we feel for things that sustained us and nourished us in our past. Might be family traditions or church traditions, those moments where we felt especially connected and encountered and loved. But as good as those are, there is a flip side here, because sentiment and nostalgia can be one step away from resentment when things change. So why do you have to always ruin Christmas? That's that statement of like, it's not like it was. Christmas is Christmas because it looks like this. We get this stuck in these moments that we can't get back to. We can't recreate them because they were then and this is now. And we can burn up a lot of energy trying to recreate our past or resenting its loss instead of welcoming the present and imagining the present moment that is our future. Third, along the spectrum, we can remember as learning. This is kind of how the world works, the world as it evolves, always making the next mistake and learning from it. That is just evolution. You know, the saying, those who do not learn from the lessons of history are doomed to repeat it. Holocaust survivors remind us, never forget. Never forget what happens when a group gets marginalized and denigrated. Never forget what happens when we blindly follow the leader. I think even remembering Queen Elizabeth can be this remembering to learn, or I'll say remembering my mother-in-law who died earlier this spring. As we remember and honor someone who has lived a life of purpose and dedication and fortitude and compassion and honor and persistence, what we realize as we remember is all of these things are being passed on to us, for us to make real in our lives as we have seen it in another's life, if we choose. And then this fourth way of remembering on this transformational path is remembering our core DNA, remembering who we already are at depth. This is what we get shown in the readings today in a wonderful way. The people, this classic story of the golden calf, the people have lost their way. They have lost their storyline. Moses goes up on the mountain and they build a golden calf, an idol. It doesn't take long to lose that thread. But it's not just the people who forget. God forgets in the story. Moses comes to God and says, remember what you promised. Remember who you are. Remember your core DNA of mercy. And God remembers and changes God's mind, which is a wonderful way of telling a story to say, and so can we. Jesus takes it another order of magnitude further in the gospel today and says essentially God's core identity is to remember in a very literal way, to remember, to bring it all back together, to make it whole. So the lost lamb is the most important thing for God until that lamb is brought back. The lost coin is the most important thing in the house until it's found. That is the character, the deep identity of God, and therefore the deep identity of us. The most important thing to God, especially when we're lost. The more lost we are, the more we matter. And that deep identity is limitless, unassailable belovedness and belonging. What I love about this remembering is that life is an endless oscillation for us between forgetting and remembering. It's one of the first things you learn in meditation is that it just isn't enlightenment. This is constant coming back. Which is what we do here every week. Come back. And it is God, that we might think the action is ours. We say, do this in remembrance of me in every prayer. But we're not doing the remembering as much as God is doing the remembering, bringing us back, making us whole, reminding us who we are and whose we are. So it's a really powerful practice to just show up in church. And I'm not speaking as an institutional leader. I'm just speaking as a practitioner to say, just being together in this intentional way of being named and called God's beloved is powerful practice. Partly because what we do here is what we take out there in that formation. Because we all know that's not how we've been trained to live, to treat everybody with that kind of regard. But we can, and we do, this big work in small, small ways. So starting here, starting now, we can start by going out to coffee hour and saying, all right, one of my jobs is to look for somebody who isn't being talked to right now and talk to them. And you've all experienced this, so have I, of how powerful it can be to be regarded when you're the new kid in the classroom and to be connected to. And follow that on by saying, who have I not seen in church for a couple of months? I'm just going to give them a call and listen for another 2 minutes to ask another further leading question to say, how are our lives woven together? So here's a great story that I just heard after 9 o'clock. Remember when Father Paul had, I wasn't here, but I saw it on camera, when Paul had us look at each other and say, I depend on you. Remember that? See, some actually remember looking at each other. I can see that. So she's a relative newcomer, and she said to me, you know, I said that to a stranger, but that stranger came back, didn't even live here, and we actually have taken up a correspondence, because in our conversation we said, you know, I have some things I'd like to run by you, and they have created a friendship that came out of that little instance. I tell that story only to say this is happening all over the place all the time. These connections that are these rememberings that I would say God is doing. God is remembering us and the world. And when we take it out and just do that, look at the cashier. There is a remembering that is remaking, rebuilding the world through us. In love. And that's real. Amen.